Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 246, recorded April 13th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hi.
You know, Brian, in Maine the other day.
Yes?
It was today. He emailed us. He said, Amaxers.
Amaxers.
I like that as a shortened version of Aquarimaxers. It's kind of cool.
I'm not sure what I think of that.
Well, I like it. It was kind of fun. So, what are we doing this week?
Well, we have Gage in California, and JR in Eastern Kentucky, and Tony in New York.
Cool. So we're starting with?
Gage.
Okay.
We're going to start in California.
Okay.
So Gage had some, which kind of, what did he get?
Walter worms. We're doing kind of a summary of several emails.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to give you kind of the,
you know, some background Walter information. Worms.
Yeah, from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a question.
So he says, hey Russ, quick question. The worms have been on their new oatmeal for about 5 to 6 days. I can see them shimmering on top of it, but they don't appear to be climbing up the sides for me to wipe off and feed with. They're in the garage, so the nighttime temperatures are a little cool. Do you think it will just take a little longer for them to really get going?
Oh, do the other one, too.
Oh, he says, also, is your live food book available in PDF? I don't have a Kindle.
Okay, cool. Well, I responded to him and said, it probably is the cooler nighttime temperatures, but it could be ventilation, because too much ventilation will cause them not to climb. And then, about the PDF version, I thought, well, that might be a good possibility, but one thing, I just wanted to bring this up to those of you who may not have a Kindle, is that you can read... Hopefully I haven't done this recently already, but basically, if you have almost any device, you can get the book without having to worry about buying anything else, because it will run on lots of different platforms. It will run on iDevices, it will run on Android and everything, because there are Kindle apps for those, and the Kindle app's free. So if you download the Kindle app, then you can read it on those devices as well.
Oh.
Don't need a Kindle.
Okay.
You can even do it on a desktop PC, whatever.
That makes it easier.
Yeah, so anyway, thought I'd bring that up. But we thought it probably was the cool nighttime temperatures. And I asked him about the ventilation. He said he had 5 small holes in the center poked with a sheetrock screw, and that they were starting to come up by the time that email came through. And I told him the ventilation was probably about right. And then it was, let's see, about a week and a half later, he said, the Walter worms are kicking butt now. I've been feeding them to my Celestichthys erythromicron, small rasbora, and they are really starting to color up. I don't think it's my imagination. Thanks again.
So that's good.
And then I asked him if he was using spirulina in the worm medium, because that helps
with the
fish color up. And he said the latest batch of worm medium has spirulina and paprika, both good natural color enhancers you can use. These fish are going to glow.
So, excellent.
Glad to hear that it's all working out, and his Walter worms are doing well, and that his fish are enjoying them. So
it's a little troubleshooting.
If
they're not growing fast enough, they might just need to be a little warmer.
Glad to hear the success story.
I can sympathize with him.
In the cold?
Yes, I don't do very well in the cold.
Yeah. None of us around here do.
No, it's true. Okay, so let's go to JR in Eastern Kentucky. He's got another CO2 system.
Right, he's one of the... one of the Aquarimaxers, or a couple of them, who are testing out the citric acid baking soda CO2 injection systems.
Mm-hmm. And he says, on Saturday, my CO2 citric acid system slowed to 1 bubbles per second. Bubbles per second!
I guess you'd have to say 1 bubble per second in this case.
Oh, let's do 1 bubble per second. I have to think of that yellowfish in Nemo. Bubbles, bubbles, my bubbles! Okay. 1 bubble per second! I needed a recharge. Saturday was day 14, so I was finally able to meet my goal after fixing the leaks around my solenoid. While I am satisfied with the 14 days at 2 bubbles per second, I still plan to play with the formula a bit to see if I can do better.
So it's cool that he's met the goal that he's been trying to reach.
He can make it last that long.
So he knows he can do it, and now he's just going to try for improvement. So likely enough, he
can make it.
And we do appreciate this. It's very valuable to Aquarimaxers to hear success or lack thereof, but in this case, fortunately, success of the system.
Alrighty. Should we go to New York?
Mm-hmm.
We went from California to New York, all the way across. Okay. From Tony. Hello, Aquarimax. Matt, I just wanted to say that although you have my condolences on the discus, I have to also say that I am really inspired by the way you have pulled out all the stops to make them well. Many people wouldn't have taken the time or the expense to do this, and I think those discus are really fortunate to have you in their corner doing all you can to make them well and give them a happy life.
I agree.
Me too.
Hear, hear.
Good job, Matt. For your saltwater tank, I'm not sure if this helps, but I use Prime in my tank since it neutralizes ammonia, nitrite, and nitrate by converting them to non-toxic forms. The chemicals remain in the tank and are available to the biofilter still, so your cycle can continue while minimizing the toxicity for fish. I have to admit, I am not sure if it works as indicated or if the neutralized form is safe enough for fish, but at least dosing it is easy and Prime is safe with your protein skimmer. Other dechlorinators may not be. I hope this is a helpful hint that will get you by as your cycle progresses.
That is a good point. And I like Prime. In fact, Prime is my favorite dechlorinator.
Is it the stinky one? Or is that...
I think you're thinking of AmQuil.
Oh, there's the AmQuil. It's the AmQuil that's really stinky.
Although Prime doesn't really smell all that great either.
No, but honestly. I know it works well and you like it, but the AmQuil smells like a skunk.
Yeah, it does.
It's really stinky.
And Prime smells a little like that, but...
it's not quite as strong.
It's not as strong in my estimation.
It doesn't last very long.
Right. And it works really well.
But it works, yeah.
And I don't know that I've actually used a whole lot of another dechlorinator for quite a while. It's
mostly
my favorite.
Like that one.
It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get the big bottle and then just put it in my little bottle. And
you have little bottles at
the big
different
bottles
locations
are cheaper.
So you can have it where you need it.
So, yeah, I totally agree. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking of that in the... in this context, though, so it's good that Tony brought that up. But yeah, Prime's good stuff.
Yep. He goes on to say, as for the cause of your ammonia, my only guess is that the introduction of new live rock can be accompanied by a die-off of organisms on the rock. Perhaps that is causing your ammonia. This eventually subsides, and whatever organisms survive on the rock will repopulate it soon.
And that is a good point. Yep. And the reason why I didn't mention that is because I think Matt said... I could be wrong, but if I recall correctly, he said something about the fact that this live rock was already cured, so I wasn't thinking about that. But at the same time...
What does cured live rock mean?
Well, they go through that process before you get it in your hands, before you put it in your tank. But at the same time...
So transferring it from one tank to another doesn't stress it out and cause that?
It can, yes. But the idea is, when you get live rock straight from the ocean, basically it's shipped to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you put it right in your tank right after that, or you go pick it up at the pet store and they've just barely gotten it in, and you go put it in the pet store, there you're going to lose a lot of the creatures that live on it, or that were living on it and had just died during the shipping process, either
okay.
That, or they're not adapting, they won't adapt to the tank in a very short period of time, and they will die. But if you get it from the pet store in a tank where they've been curing it, then a lot
they
of that die-off has already occurred, and a lot of the wastes, you know, the nitrogenous waste, the ammonia and so on, that are going to be produced already have been. So by the time you bring it home, you're going to minimize that process. Perhaps not eliminate it.
Why doesn't it have more die-off when you switch it from the pet store tank to the other? It's still switching tanks.
It is still switching tanks, and I'm not saying you won't get any die-off.
You just get more
what
the
I'm
first
saying
10.
Is you won't get as much. Because
the things that survived are already hardier? They're
because
more
they're pre-adapted.
To
they're more likely to survive because they've already survived that initial die-off, and indicating that they can survive a fair amount of stress. And that they are more adapted to living in a tank already. You know, that they happen to have, their adaptations are more successful in a tank environment already, is what I'm saying. Not that you won't get some die-off, but you won't get as much. And so I was thinking that Matt had already gotten pre-cured live rock, and so he wouldn't get as much die-off. He could still get some, and so that could be part of the issue, definitely. Or I could be remembering wrong, and... he may not have gotten cured by live rock. I'm not sure. But that was my recollection. But it's a very good point to bring up.
Okay.
So I'm glad Tony brought that up. That may be contributing to the issue.
Okay. Tony finishes, he's saying, all my best for your projects. Your efforts have really inspired me over the years, and I know you're going to make it through this rough patch soon. All my best from New York, Tony.
Cool.
So
thank you, Tony. And thank you, JR, and thank you, Gage, all for contributing. I think we have something that we'd like to bring
up. We saw kind of a fun thing today. Well, not today, but this weekend at the pet store.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of days ago. We went to a pet store that I think we've mentioned it before. It's called Animal Ark, and it's about an hour or so, 45 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And we were down there for other reasons, but...
So we went to the pet store! We went to the pet store
and picked up a couple things. Needed to pick up a couple things anyway. And we saw some really fun things. In this store, first of all, this might be an idea for some of you out there. One of the managers, I don't know if he's the sole manager or not. Anyway... He keeps fish and so on, and dart frogs and whatnot, but one of the things that he does is aquascaping, and he does some really nice setups.
They're really pretty.
And they had, what would you say, probably close to half a dozen tanks that he had aquascaped, maybe more.
On display.
On display in the pet store. And he also teaches aquascaping classes, which is really cool. And he said it was like $15 a class for 5 weeks, or
if you buy the whole thing, it's like,
yeah, if you go to all 5 weeks and you pay for it all at once, you get $50 for the whole class, which I think is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But cool idea. And he does some really nice work. One of the tanks, well, several of the tanks had these, something I hadn't seen before, which I really liked. They've got trees.
Like driftwood.
When I say trees, yeah, like driftwood trees that look as if they are bonsai already.
Lots of little teeny wee branches that have almost been, I don't know, like, I want to say grafted onto the driftwood.
Yeah, yeah. And we asked about it, and we didn't get to talk to Mike about it, unfortunately, but we talked to someone else who worked there who didn't know as much about it as he did, but was able to give us some information. And apparently, because these looked amazing.
They looked like trees.
Really cool. But not only trees, but bonsai.
Because
I've seen something that I really like, which is, and it's cool, where they take, like, I think it's manzanita, and they collect the root of the manzanita, and then they kind of turn it upside down, so you have it, the trunk of the manzanita, and then you have the roots that are acting as the branches, so it's the tree. And I've seen that, and I like it, but this is... very sculpted. It's already growing like in a bonsai form, but it still looks pretty natural. It doesn't look...
It's not growing. It's not
junky
alive.
Junky or fake. No.
It's shaped like a...
And apparently they do take pieces of wood and they connect them, but you don't look at it and say, oh, look, this is where they jammed a branch in here and here's...
Right.
You don't see that at all. So they may do some retouching with... I don't know what they do. They sculpt it and then they... put resin over parts of it,
to
or whatever they
it
do,
over
but
something.
It looks really nice. It's amazing.
And they put it in the tanks, and they put, you know, different plants on it to be like the leaves in the tree. And
yeah,
it's really cool.
So they had some that were just for sale, and they were rather expensive. They're like $80.
They were expensive.
So I don't think that's going to happen anytime
soon. But they were spiffy looking.
But someday I would like to do that because it was really cool. And they had, for example, on the branches they would plant moss on the branches, and then it looked like the foliage. Or one of them had little micro Anubias.
Teeny Anubias.
Really tiny ones.
Over it. It made it look like a Benjamin Fig.
Yeah. If you're familiar with Benjamin Fig tree, it looked a lot like that. It was in a tank, that particular one was in a tank, I think it was 10 or 15 gallons, with axolotls.
It was more like a 20.
Was it?
Yeah, it was bigger than that.
Well, there were several tanks there, so I don't know. But
little baby axolotls. Yeah. They're so cute.
And it looked really amazing. I was thinking it would be fun to do a tree like that in a fairly small tank and put moss all over for the foliage of the tree, and then put maybe Pellea as a lawn under the tree, or, you know, a field.
That
or maybe dwarf Sagittaria. Or not.
You could build up like a hill, something on the side.
Sagittaria.
Is there some little plant, aquatic plant, that has like little yellow flowers? They'd be like dandelions. It would be cute.
Sagittaria subulata. That's what I was thinking. Dwarf Sag or Sag or whatever people say. That's how they often write it. S-A-G.
We could call it Dwarf Sage and it would be a wise plant.
Yeah, there you go. But it was really cool. Kind of... decor item that I thought, wow, I'd love to try
that
someday. You could do all sorts of neat things with it. So, that was the main thing that I wanted to mention from our visit to the store. Although we did see vampire shrimp, that was something.
Did we actually find them in the thing?
Or we did. They were the ones doing this. And
Oh, right. I was thinking vampire crabs. They weren't actually in the tank.
They said they had vampire crabs, but I didn't see any of those.
Didn't see any in there.
I would love to get vampire crabs someday, too.
Okay, but we might have to get, like, werewolf shrimp to balance them out or something.
That's fine. We can do that, too. But vampire crabs are interesting in that they're largely terrestrial, and they breed completely independently of the ocean. So
why do you keep them in an aquarium?
I don't know.
Why do you keep them in a terrarium?
They had them sort of a semi-aquatic thing over there. But okay. Yeah, you keep it in a terrarium, planted terrarium. They're fine in a planted terrarium that's all beautiful with moss and stuff. Huh. You put a little waterfall in there or something. They go around and they'll hunt fruit flies and isopods and things like that. So
neat.
Really cool. I'd like to try that sometime. But I just thought I'd bring out that tree. If any of you have any, you know, tree-like driftwood designs that you like and you'd like to show off,
send in some pictures.
We'll post them on the page if you want to check it out. Mm-hmm. If you want to let other people check them out. So that was fun.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have for this week.
Yep.
Isn't it?
I think so.
So until next time, Aquarimaxers.
May the fish
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.